Akran, Toda Raba, Arigato, Asante, Gamsa, Danke, Gracias, Merci, Thank you. It is that these are just some of the ways in terms of the languages of the world that it is that people express thanksgiving to the people of their own language, their own tongue. Shukran is Arabic, Toda Raba is Hebrew, Arigato is Japanese, Gamsa is Korean, Danke, or Danke is German, Gracias is Spanish, Merci French, and then of course English, thank you. And it is that I want you to know that you didn't come here tonight or didn't want to give you a lesson on how to say thank you in so many languages, but it is that you came here tonight to worship God, to pray to God, and also indeed as each Lord's Day to thank God for his goodness to us. And the reason that I want again this night to focus on the place of thanksgiving in the life of the church and of God's people is because, not just primarily because it's Thanksgiving weekend, not in the sense that it's perhaps an easier subject to consider. If anything, I think it's a harder subject to consider than some of the other topics that we might consider from God's word. But it is that I think that we have to be constantly reminded of the great emphasis that is placed on in God's word upon us on the place of thanksgiving in the hearts and the minds of God's people. That's why it is that I've given the title of tonight's sermon as the primacy of thanksgiving. That it is that one of the things that should be first and foremost in our lives, out of many other things that are legitimate and biblical, is that we be a people of thanksgiving and indeed give God thanks for all that he bestows upon us. So what is it that we can learn from what Paul says here? Well, the first thing is, I think Paul reminds us of God's will. He presents us with God's will. And it is that for us, thanksgiving is to be a deeply spiritual exercise, and it's always something that's to be ongoing. In other words, giving thanks is to be an ever-present reality that naturally flows from hearts that have been transformed from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh and hearts that beat in unison with the heart of Jesus Christ. And here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, believers are commended to give thanks. Now, the command that's given here in verse 18 is also accompanied by the explanation as to why it is that Paul exhorts them to give thanks. And it is that he says, as he says to us, that we are to engage in this activity of thanksgiving because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And when it is that Paul writes that, then I think we've got to take on board that thanksgiving, that it's not something that's cursory, that it's not something that we can give a take or leave attitude towards, but it is that biblical thanksgiving and thanksgiving in and through Christ is a deeply theological act when it is that we rightly understand the theology that undergirds a thanksgiving as thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, in a sense, the theology of thanksgiving is a theology in microcosm. That there's a key to understanding here as to what we really believe about God, what we believe about ourselves, and indeed the world in which it is that God has placed us. One of the questions that I was reading over the past week, and I thought it was so significant for us tonight, is this: how do atheists observe thanksgiving? How is it that an atheist observes thanksgiving? It is, you can easily understand what an atheist or an agnostic would think, perhaps of their fellow human beings, and it is that they're felt led to express thankfulness and gratitude to what it is that this individual is, who he or she is, what it is that they've done for them, and what it is that they consider in terms of the friendship that is theirs, and everything that they have gone through with that person directly and indirectly, and what it is that that individual has contributed to their lives. And it's on that basis that the atheist or the agnostic is able to give thanks even at Thanksgiving. But then the question follows on, and it's this: what about the blessings that cannot be ascribed to human agency? What about the blessings in terms, even as we sang, the steadfast love of the Lord endures? What about the fact that it is that he causes the sun to rise and the sun to set? What about the fact that all that we see in terms of how the world operates and the universe operates in accordance with various laws and so ever? How is it that the atheist is able to give thanks to something that cannot be ascribed to human agency? And these things are both, I think, more numerous and more significant ranging from the universe itself to the very lives that we ourselves are found living through. I mean, can an individual really be thankful without being thankful to someone? The answer, of course, is no. But it makes no sense to express thankfulness, as far as they're concerned, to a purely naturalistic system. It is that, as far as they're concerned, it's something that is foolish and false. I was reading about an individual, his name was Stephen Jay Gould, and it is that he was one of the foremost paleontologists and evolutionists of his day. Sadly, it was in 2002, he died when he was only 60 years of age, and that had been because of recurring cancer in his life. And it is that Stephen Jay Gould, this is how he expressed and considered a human life, and I quote, he said, "Life is but a tiny, late arising twig on life's enormously arborescent bush." As far as he was concerned, it is that he was a clear-headed evolutionist, and he took the theory of evolution to its ultimate conclusion. And the conclusion that was his is as follows, that human life is merely an accident, and even though it's merely an accident, it happens to be a very happy accident for those of us who live in this universe that has come about out of nothing. It is that at one time he was asked directly if he was an agnostic rather than an atheist, and this is what he said, and I quote, "If you absolutely force me to bet on the existence of a conventional anthropomorphic deity, of course I'd bet no. But basically, Huxley, that's Aldous Huxley, was right when he said that agnosticism is the only honorable position because we really cannot know. And that's right. I'd be real surprised if there turned out to be a conventional God." When I read that and read that he died in 2002 at 60 years of age, my first thought was, what a surprise he would have got when it is that he stood before the God who is holy and the God who is the creator and sustainer of all things. Because you see, within a worldview that Gould put forth, and those who live in accordance with this sort of worldview, the question is, how does thankfulness work? That's why I think it is that we need to be thankful to what Paul writes to the church at Rome, especially in chapter 1. And it is that in that first chapter that Paul points to a central insight about thankfulness when it is that he instructs the Christians in Rome about the reality of unbelief and the consequences of unbelief. And after making clear to his readers that God has revealed himself to all humanity through the created order, Paul asserts that we are all without excuse when it comes to the responsibility that is ours to know our Creator and to worship our Creator. Listen to what he writes in Romans 1 from verse 20. "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools." And this remarkable passage that Paul writes at the beginning of Romans 1 has at its center an indictment of thanklessness. They did not honor the Creator as God, and it is that they did not thank him. Paul wants us to understand that the refusal to honor God and to give God thanks is what we might term as the raw form of primal sin. That it is, wherever thanklessness abounds, it is that sin does abound there as well. Now, when you come to the theologians, they've postulated and had many debates about what they term as the foundational sin. And it is that the answers have ranged from lust to pride. But in the basis of what Paul writes here in Romans 1, I'm of the opinion that it would seem to be the case that being unthankful, refusing to recognize God as the source of all things, that it itself is very close to the essence of the primal sin. What is it that explains the rebellion of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? I think it's this, that a lack of proper thankfulness was at the core of their sin. Think on it. God gave them unspeakable riches and abundance, but it is that he forbade them to eat from one the fruit of one tree. And proper thankfulness to God would have led our first parents to avoid that fruit at all costs and to obey the Lord's commands. Taken further, this first sin was also a lack of thankfulness. The decision to eat the forbidden fruit indicated, as far as I'm concerned, a lack of thankfulness in the fact that it took the form of an assertion that we as creatures are not the Creator, that it is that we as creatures, that we know what is best for us, and we intend to do, as far as we're concerned, what is best for us. And what Adam and Eve were doing in the garden was this. They didn't honor God as God, nor did they give God thanks. And it is that we're being taught clearly that honoring God as God leads naturally into thankfulness. To honor him as God is to honor his limitless love, is to honor and give thanks for his benevolence and care, is to give thanks for his provision and his unaccountable gifts. And to fail in thankfulness is to fail to honor God. And that's the biblical description of fallen and sinful humanity. The Bible is saying to us, as we are outside of Christ, we are a thankless lot. And surely, the day and age in which we find ourselves living, it is one of the most thankless ages in which I think it is that there has been in a long while. Sinners saved by the grace and the mercy of God know a thankfulness that exceeds any merely human thankfulness, because it is that we recognize the provision that the Father has made for us in Christ. We recognize something of the riches that are made ours in Christ, and we recognize that daily we experience the unspeakable gift of the surpassing grace of God toward us in Jesus Christ. As Paul was to write in the second letter to the Corinthians, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Is that what we do daily? We thank God. I said that when we read some and sang Psalm 136, that it was a case that the psalmist hadn't run out of things to say. But the Spirit, as he inspired the psalmist, the Spirit was wanting to hammer into our hearts and into our minds that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. And it is that I think that Scripture, even as it brings us to the place and the understanding of thankfulness, it is that time and time again, the Spirit, through the writers of the Word, are wanting us to take on board the place that thankfulness should have in our ongoing walk with Christ. You see, a proper Christian thanksgiving, whether it be this weekend or any other weekend, is a deeply theological act. And it's a deeply theological act that requires an active mind as well as a thankful heart. A mind that considers and goes over the ways in which it is that God blesses us. That's why we sang Psalm 42. And it is that the psalmist at one point, he says, my soul's cast down. Why is my soul cast down? And then it is that he says, still trust in God, for I shall yet praise him. He's thinking deeply. He's thinking widely. He's thinking faithfully and carefully about the countless reasons that are his to be thankful to God. Do you do that every day? Every day? At various points of the day? See, it's humbling, I think, to see that Paul, even as he urges the Thessalonians to give thanks in all circumstances, that what he says in Romans chapter 1, that he explicitly links a lack of thankfulness to sin and to foolishness and idolatry. What he's saying, I think, is this, that a lack of proper thankfulness to God is a clear sign of basic godlessness. A lack of proper thankfulness to God is a clear sign of basic godlessness. And today, and tonight, and tomorrow, millions of Canadians will celebrate Thanksgiving with little consciousness of this truth. That's a sad thing. That's what should be moving us to our knees in prayer. That it is that tomorrow, at tables that no doubt are creaking under the weight of the food that is upon them, that's to be consumed, tables at which it is that the host perhaps has spent inordinate hours of time and effort in making the most beautiful display that you could ever display for folks to come and partake of a meal with you, that it is that what you've really got there when there's no thanksgiving is an animal trough. You say, what do you mean by that? How can you say that? Well, I've got a little dog at home. And it is that I know when that little dog's hungry. And it is that she'll sit there and she'll start to whimper. And maybe it is that the tail will start going and I'll say to her, are you hungry? And it is that I'm teasing her. And then I get Alison gives me the can of food and she sees it. And oh, the excitement. She knows that her food's coming. And it is that I open the can, put the food in, the wet food and the dry food, and I put it down to her. And what does she do? You would hope that maybe she would stop and in her own doggy way go, thank you. No. The face just goes straight into her dish. And she eats it as quickly as she can, and the food's going everywhere as well as going down her throat. Well, when we sit at a table, and when we eat and enjoy things without giving thanks to God, who is the giver of every perfect and good gift, we're acting just like the beasts. We really are. And that's the sad thing, that we just eat without recognizing and enjoying the glory of a God who provides for us. And because we have this capability to give thanks, but many times perhaps ignore giving thanks and being thankful to God, is it any wonder then that God is not pleased with unthankful hearts? And it is that he causes his will to so work in our lives that we're brought up, as it were, smart, and we begin to think on these things. How many of us who are parents, and it is that as best you can, when your children are little and growing up, you give them the best that you can of everything. And then it is, and history is replete with children who have done this, and they're ungrateful to their parents and the hurt that the parent has because of this, because they take the parent's gifts for granted. How many times are we like that to our Father in heaven? And really, we're taking for granted the good things that he gives to us, even gathering in the Lord's Day freely. Again, this morning we met with some of our Persian brothers and sisters, and one of the things that was coming across again, as with every group that we meet, that one of the things that they're so thankful to God for is the freedom that they now have, compared to what it was like back in Iran. And I really wonder if in our lifetime or in our children's lifetime, that we as a people, that we're losing sight of how we should be still giving God thanks for the freedoms that are ours to meet as we do freely without fear of persecution. And I wonder if it's going to change. So it is, God's will is to give thanks. Second thing I think we can say here is that there's also a witness to be made, not just as God's will to be exercised, but there's a witness to be made. So the question is, what then is the result of thanksgiving of this in a person's life? And when it is that they don't give thanks? Well, when you don't give thanks, ingratitude, I think, ends up shriveling hearts. It ends up distorting perceptions. It ends up perverting understanding. That it is that ingratitude is a sign of childishness. We see it in terms of boys and girls who become young adults, and it is that they're not grown up. And it's the same in terms of our spiritual walk with Christ, that when we're not thankful to God for all things, good and bad, then it is that we're exhibiting childish behavior. But it's also a sign of something worse than childishness, and it's this. It's a sign of grave spiritual sickness. that if it is that we profess faith in Christ, that we're not often thanking God for his mercy to us in Christ. And that being the case, you would think that in the life of Christians that unthankfulness wouldn't be found. Yet, as you and I know, even Christians can become unthankful. And for a Christian to be unthankful is abnormal. It really is. It cuts across the grain of your new life. It cuts across the grain of your new nature. It cuts across the grain of the fact that you're a new creature in Christ, the new you, the new I. It cuts across. And so because we can fall to the sin of ingratitude, it is that the New Testament repeatedly calls us to thankfulness. The overarching principle, I think, is in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's really the overarching umbrella that covers every issue of life as we experience God's, the unfolding of his providence. That no matter what happens, whether it be big, small, or seemingly indifferent, whether it be good or not so good, it all falls under the umbrella of Romans 8:28. And it will be by God working together all things for our good. Now, I know it's easy to say that from the pulpit. And I know, even from my own experience, that it's hard at times to live it out. Especially when it is that the providence of God in our life perhaps seems very heavy and difficult and totally perplexing. The thing in itself may not be good, but God is able to take a bad thing and turn it to a good purpose, ultimately for our good and for his eternal and our eternal glory. You see, if you live believing that God is at work, that God is sovereignly controlling all the contingencies of life, that it is that he's blending them all together, and it is that each component part is leading to a sovereignly designed goal for our good and his glory, then on that basis, you should be able to be thankful to God for the fact that you are able to handle all things in life, because you know that it fits in to the ultimate plan that God has for his church and for you as part of that church. What do I mean? Well, you can be thankful for pain. That if you've got to go through a surgery, you know that there's healing coming from the pain that's yours after the surgery. You can be thankful for the difficulty that you go through in preparation, if you know that the product of that preparation is going to change your life and the life of others. You can be thankful for the process of pain that even you might inflict on your body, if you know that in the end you're going to be healthier because you've been lifting weights and your muscles are hardening. You know that at the end of the day, it strengthens you. And there are many things in life that involve that. And that's why it's important that we say and challenge ourselves, do we give thanks? You see, as long as you look at the end result, you can be thankful, I think, in biblical terms, even for a process that's less than happy and less than joyful. And it is that we need to have that long-term perspective and ask the Lord to give it to us, to lift our eyes from where it is that we are perhaps at the moment, particularly in the midst of difficulties, and to be granted that perspective that says, you do all things well. We either believe it or we don't. And this is where the rubber hits the road. And this is where it is easier perhaps at times to come up with sermons that maybe are full of theology, but at the end of the day, they're not applicable to the circumstances that you're in. Here is Paul, and he's saying to the Thessalonians and to us, God's will for you is to give thanks. And we live in a day and age where it's very difficult to rise above the creeping encroaching powerful culture that surrounds us and that expresses itself in thanklessness. On the one hand, you get people who have more than any other generation perhaps has ever had. And yet it is that you get people who never give thanks. And so, consequently, the New Testament injunctions for us to be thankful are particularly appropriate and important for us in the day and age in which we live. If you're filled with the Spirit, if you're asking God, God, grant me your Spirit, one of the ways that the truth that God has answered your prayer will be made manifest is that you will give thanks to God in everything. Giving thanks to Him for your salvation, giving thanks to Him because of the outpouring of all the necessities in this life and the life that is to come. Even in times of trouble, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Listen to Colossians 2 and verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and what? And overflowing with gratitude, with thanksgiving. And He's saying to us, as the Lord's people, we ought to be characterized by overflowing gratitude. Of the Christian, it should be said, that's a thankful person. My, what a thankful person that is. Every time that person opens their mouth, out comes words of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. Colossians 3 and 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and what? Be thankful. Verse 17 of Colossians 3. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks in everything, in absolutely everything. In verse 2 of chapter 4 of Colossians, Paul writes this. Devote your life to it. Devote your life to praying with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote your life to it. And here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, Paul reminds us of the responsibility of the believer before God in terms of the attitude of their heart. And so, the challenge, I think, tonight and tomorrow and every Lord's Day is, am I a person of thanks for the good as well as the bad? Can it truly be said that I recognize that everything that God does and brings about in my life, that ultimately it will be for my good and for His glory? I don't understand it. I don't see it. I'm totally bamboozled and perplexed. But the Word is saying it is that we can give thanks. See, I think giving thanks is one of the best gauges of a person's spiritual condition. Sometimes we judge our spirituality or the spirituality of our brothers and sisters by how often they attend church. If they're there every time that's available, they're spiritual. Well, there's truth in that. Or maybe in terms of the activity of a minister, that they're never at peace. They're always doing. They're spiritual. Or the fact that you do your duty as a Christian, whatever that duty you believe is, the fact that you give your money to the church, the fact that you show up at the Bible study, whatever it may be, and it is that we all use these things as gauges of how spiritual we really are. And at times we don't judge our spirituality by negative things. Well, I haven't robbed anybody, I haven't murdered anybody, I haven't committed fornication, I haven't lied or cheated my income tax return, I haven't abused my wife, I haven't abused my children. And it is that because of that, we think that we're pretty spiritual. But I think that what Paul is saying here, and when we consider the theology of thanksgiving, Paul's saying to us, go deeper than that and ask yourself, are you really giving thanks to God. If you want to get in touch with the reality of your spiritual condition, if you want to know whether you're really being filled constantly with the Holy Spirit, then all you need to ask yourself, and in light of what the context of what Paul is saying here, do I rejoice always? Do I constantly pray? And am I increasingly thankful? These are the gauges. These are the tests of whether or not we are really spirit-filled people. Because that's the spring from within. That's what's coming out from the inside. And as it comes out from the inside, it will lead to a right attitude in everything that we do and the way that we are one with another. So, our time's gone. And it is that I was going to finish with this third point. There was God's will. There was the witness. And then thirdly, there was the waste or the wreck, as it could be called. And the waste of the wreck was in terms of an article I read that he presented what it called the seven destroyers of thanksgiving. Let me just give you them, numbers 1 to 7, without any further explication. First one, narcissism. It was at the top of the list. Second one, unbridled appetite. And again, it is a destroyer of thanksgiving. Third thing, disregard for the small and intangible, a destroyer of thanksgiving. Fourth thing, captured by the consumptive culture, the consumerism of our day. Again, it destroys thanksgiving. The fifth one, separated memory. What's that? Well, that's basically forgetting the past. And that's why we sang Psalm 42. The psalmist didn't forget the past. Still trusting God. Why? Because I'm thinking about the ways that God has blessed me in the past. And as he's blessed me in the past, he'll bless me in the days to come. Don't separate those memories. The sixth thing, upward comparison. And it is comparing ourselves with those round about us who have more than us, whether it be materially, intellectually, in terms of influence and so on. The seventh thing, lack of vulnerability. In other words, if you don't appear to have needs, you have placed yourself in the role of provider, giver, helper, and leader. And because of that, you will not give thanks to God. And then the final one that I added to the list is rebellion. And we as God's people can be rebels. I'm not thankful to God. Why? Because I'm angry with God. I'm not thankful to God. Why? Because I don't like what God is doing in my life. I'm mad. And I'm unthankful. And I know I'm unthankful. And you know what? I'm going to stay unthankful. How is it with us then tonight? That's the way with you. You're defying God. And you will never know the peace that transcends all understanding that's available to you to guard your heart and your mind in Jesus. So, I pray that tomorrow, as many of us will meet together as families, that honestly, that you will have a lovely time. I really do hope you have a lovely time. I hope that you're able to partake of the many good things that God provides for us. Give thanks tomorrow for your taste buds, and that you can taste all the wonderful flavors that he gives us in our food. But most of all, give thanks for the salvation that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's never forget that. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Father, it is that we have to confess that we are not as thankful to you as we should be. And so we thank you for a weekend like this, which in our culture and society is designated here this time of year in Canada as Thanksgiving, and we know in December in the United States, different again. But it is, O Lord, that we pray that even tonight that our consciences might have been pricked, especially if it is that in recent days that we recognize that we have been ungrateful to you in terms of all you have done for us. We pray that as we gather together as family and friends tomorrow, and as we partake of the many good things that you bestow upon us, that truly, that when we gather around tables that in their form speak of love, tables in terms of those who gather around them speak of love, family love, but also tables where it is that Christ is in our midst and that to bless. Thank you for the blessings of this your day. Thank you for the privilege of being able to come to your house without fear and worry of persecution. And thank you, our God, that we can go home this evening. And as we would retire for the evening, that we can thank you for all you have done for us in Jesus Christ. And it is that we ask this with the forgiveness of our sins, in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.